know, sometimes we forget we have a radio show to do.
I know. And here it is. We're right in the middle of it. Rich Lankoff is here. Rich, as you know, is one of the co-hosts of Legal Faceoff.
The important one, he'll tell you.
Is that still the case, Rich, are you, of the two of you?
Legally, I have to say I'm the important one. I get 50% more billing. My font is bigger on
that
the title, all that stuff.
What's
it's a whole contract.
It's not about the size.
But Jason Whiteside is the other member of the team.
Yep.
Yes.
Rich is also a partner in the high-profile law firm of Bryce Downey and Lankoff, where he plays the role of Rich Lankoff.
I do. I play one on TV and on radio.
There's a lot going on in the legal world, and for some reason, today is like a hotbed of activity.
It's a big day for legal geeks like me. So just later this afternoon at 1 o'clock, a high-profile case that we've covered on the show. You've covered Barbara Bird Bennett, who's the former head of the Chicago Public Schools, will be sentenced in federal court here in Chicago. She, of course, was convicted by a federal jury. She pled guilty to a variety of graft kickbacks, basically, from the Supes Academy while she was the head of the Chicago public school system. So the federal government's going after her very hard. They're asking for a very long sentence. She'll probably get a shorter amount because she will agree to community service. So that's today.
And then they're going for 7 years for her?
Yes, yes.
Wow. You know what? Just don't break the law. Who wants to go to prison?
You know, especially someone in that position, obviously, and especially given that she was one of many people who cycled through that job in a short period of time and who obviously was brought in to reform public schools, who presided over a very controversial closing of 50 schools. So, yeah, you know, I'm glad that she'll be sentenced today. And then at 2 o'clock...
Can I really quick about Barbara Bird Bennett? Remind me, but she has copped to the charges.
Yeah, she pled guilty.
Yeah.
She pled guilty to one count. There were several counts, but that one count carries pretty significant time. She admitted, you know, tearfully in court that she let down her students and the public.
Does that help her a little bit?
It does, yeah, it does. You know, generally when, first of all, when you admit to your wrongdoing, obviously the courts will look at that and give you some credit for that.
But I mean the weeping. Because then you're showing emotion. Is that
yeah,
you want
I mean,
to do that?
Sure. I mean, courts will...
But the apology, because isn't that Rad Blagojevich's problem kind of too? He never kind of owned it?
Sure. I mean, absolutely
it,
the fact that Blagojevich still hasn't come out and admitted it versus someone like Barbara Bird Bennett, who, you know, the evidence was pretty significant. There were emails in which she said, I need money for my grandchildren and for casinos. So... it was hard for her to not admit to it, admittedly, but yes, to answer your question, the fact that she admitted to it, the fact that she showed remorse, and the fact that she will now do some community service all will affect the judge's sentence. And
what do you think will happen there?
I think she'll get, you know, a fairly significant sentence, not as much as the federal government is looking for, because remember, I mean, we've had a lot of prosecutors on our show. These are high-profile cases, and the U.S. Attorney's Office wants to make an example out of these kind of people.
Of course.
This is the third largest public school system in the country.
Yeah.
You've got the head of it accepting kickbacks from a company that they were steering business to.
Right.
If I'm the prosecutor, you can't help but go after the maximum sentence to send a message that, especially in Chicago, where newsflash...
schools are in turmoil.
Exactly. You know, there's a huge budget deficit. This won't be accepted. So, you know, they have to go after her hard, but she'll probably get a far less sentence than the government's looking for.
Yeah.
I've learned again from Barbara Bird Bennett, do not break the law. And second of all, don't put things in an email because people can cut and paste.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
be
those
careful.
Emails were incredibly egregious. You know, the degree to which she was writing in not like legalese or nothing that was hard to understand. She literally said, I need money for casinos and use an emoji. You know, the brazenness in which she wrote those words in an email to think that, you know, people would not find that out is nuts.
Right.
But it continues to happen. You continue to see things like this, even though we see these political figures continue to get caught.
All right. So that sentencing happens later on today.
Correct. Yeah. Right. 1 o'clock.
Next up, I want to ask you this. I was reading about this case with Jesse Jackson Jr. and his ex-wife, Sandy.
Yes.
And she wants a written list of all the women that he has slept with.
Yes.
Is that something that we've seen before? Is that standard
And that's
practice?
Not happening, right?
Well, it's not happening, correct, because Jesse Jackson 2 days ago agreed to drop his pursuit of the case in Illinois. He's going to agree to have the divorce case proceed in D.C., which is where Sandy Jackson filed and where she wants it. That was a tactic. So to answer your question, whether it's common to have a list of your sexual partners while you're married, released, that was a discovery tool, a very effective one by her attorneys, because it turned out that he dropped the lawsuit, or he dropped his pursuit of the case in Illinois because of that. But that was a tactic.
That's a chess move.
Exactly.
To say if you do it, you look really bad.
No
so
question.
You don't want to do that.
It was meant by her attorneys to put pressure on him. He didn't want to release that, obviously. It was all. It's also incredibly expensive. I mean, you know, divorce proceedings, as you know, not you specifically, but as we all know, are among the most expensive for these kind of things. They're very acrimonious. They're very personal, and people are out to get each other in a very personal way. That costs a lot of money. So, yeah, when he dropped the case, and it will proceed in D.C.
I've always thought that if politicians break a law, this is just in my dream world, whatever the normal sentencing should be, it should be double because you're a politician and you made us trust us. You made us trust you and you fooled us.
No question. I mean, that, you know, Blagojevich is among the most prominent examples of that. You know, I think it's important. I'm a former prosecutor myself. I think it's important to send a message to the public.
Yeah.
And when you're a prominent figure and you're caught doing something wrong, you want to not only sentence the person for the act that they did, but you want to send a message, because these cases should have ripple effects, and it should have, you know, it should serve to dissuade others to do it in the future. So hopefully the next person like Blagojevich or Barbara Bird Bennett is dissuaded from acting that way because of the
See the penalties.
But as we all know, it keeps happening.
Yeah,
so
it does.
Obviously, they're not learning their lesson.
All right. We have much to discuss with Rich Lenkoff, including the twists and turns of the United case and many other things. Stay where you are. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right. We're talking to Rich Lenkoff. We'll find out what's going on in the future of Barbara Bird Bennett later on today. There's also a tie-in because the Chicago Public Schools are involved in a lawsuit. What's going on with that?
Yeah. So CPS sued the state of Illinois, arguing that the disparity in funding that they receive versus the rest of the state is because of discrimination. Pretty, you know, bold legal theory. Not one I think has a lot of merit, but used by Forrest Claypool, I think, as a tool to pressure Rauner in funding the $215 million that he initially agreed to fund and then rolled back. So today at 2 o'clock, Judge Valderrama here in the Circuit Court of Cook County will rule on this lawsuit to determine whether it proceeds. He's not going to rule on the lawsuit, but just on a motion to dismiss. The state has said that the suit is baseless and should not proceed. So today the judge is going to decide whether the case should proceed or if it won't. Practically what that means is that if the judge agrees with the state that it's meritless, then it's likely that the schools will close 3 weeks early on June 1st of this year, which, you know, as a father of two kids in public schools here in Chicago is terrible.
Are judges swayed when an attorney on either side says to a judge, this suit is baseless, it's meritless? Has a judge ever gone, well, no, I never really thought about that, but as long as you're mentioning it, maybe it is. Are they swayed by that?
That plus evidence.
Yeah,
right?
Evidence is more important, isn't
the
it?
Mere statement is not enough. In fact, you know, judges don't like when you are that bold without backing it up. In fact, you know, when we argue that way, you got to be careful about being, you know, too confident, because judges, as you can imagine, don't like people coming in and saying anything is, you know, either black or white.
Right.
So, you know, it's a great question, because, you know, you want to be a little bit humble about making that argument.
Sure.
With that, but still be very confident, you know, so you don't want to come in and say, well, this is a no-brainer, judge. This is so obvious, because judges will just say, well, we'll let the jury decide,
yeah,
you know. So it's a great question, because on a motion to dismiss, you do want to approach it with a little bit of respect to the other side, because, you know, the other side has, in their opinion, a valid argument.
Okay, and then, of course, a settlement was reached between United Airlines and Dr. Dow, who was dragged from the plane. All I want to know is how much he got in the settlement. Will we ever know that?
I'm about to tell you. No, I don't know.
We'll
don't
find
know.
Out,
that's,
won't we?
No, probably not, because those cases are confidential. I mean, one of the hallmarks of settling those kind of cases is the confidentiality portion of the release. So, you know, what will happen is United and this passenger will exchange a release, and part of the release, and the release just means that the passenger is going to release United of any liability in exchange for money. And part of that is generally a confidentiality agreement.
Can't talk about it.
Yeah. Now, that's not always the case. You know, that's just subject to negotiation. But, you know, I represent United. I represent lots of similar companies. And 99% of the time, confidentiality is something that, you know, the defendant insists on for obvious reasons, right? You don't want to have other people necessarily doing the same thing just for money. You don't
right,
want people copycat kind of cases. So, yeah, confidentiality is almost certainly going to be in effect in this case. So you probably will never know the amount.
Except that Dr. Dow could tell his wife, and his wife could tell her sister, and her sister
no.
could tell her friend.
Can't
no,
tell anyone.
You can't tell
no,
anybody.
The language is very clear that you can't tell anyone. Now, practically, do people tell people? Of course, every
yeah.
day. But the penalty, there's penalties in the contract for that. So he would be wise to abide by the terms of the confidentiality agreement that he has signed or will sign in the next day or so.
Or they can sue him and get their money back, can't they?
Absolutely.
Because of
yeah.
the breach
Absolutely.
Of contract.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the
I
same
should
way.
Have been an attorney.
Yeah, why isn't Wendy an attorney?
Well, sign her up. Sign her up.
All right. What about this aspect of it? We read this out loud. Was it yesterday or the day before, where United was taking out ads in the papers?
Full page.
Full page ads, kind of saying, look, what we did, not our best move.
Shameful, they
yeah.
said.
And was that good PR for them? I imagine it was.
Sure. I mean, the CEO has been very active in the media. He gave an interview yesterday on one of the morning shows in which, as you said, he said that we screwed up. He's now said that a few times. He said that we have taken steps to alleviate or to avoid this in the future. They have announced, some airlines have announced that they will no longer overbook. I think Southwest yesterday said they have now eliminated the overbooking that in this case resulted in this incident. So, yeah, I think there's been real steps by United and other airlines coming out of this case that will positively impact us all.
And something important, too, that they said they will handle it on their own and not bring in
right.
law enforcement, because honestly, that's where the problem was.
Part of the problem, no question, was in Demetrio's words, Thomas Demetrio was the lawyer for the doctor in this case. He said that they violated the law, the security violated the law by removing him unlawfully. So that was certainly part of it, and United has said that they will no longer do that. There's some question about whether the city will do that in the future. They're still working that out, but yeah, I think going forward, this incident will have a lot of changes on the way. These incidents are handled in the future.
We've talked to you on numerous occasions about updates on the Bill Cosby case. So two things have happened in the last couple of weeks with Bill Cosby. Number one is his daughter has come out and explained that Bill Cosby couldn't do anything harmful to people. He's just not that kind of guy. Does that make an impact? And thing number two is that Bill Cosby is now saying, I can't see anymore. I'm blind. Does that have
he
any
He wasn't
kind of
then.
He was not then.
Yeah. You know, all of that, the daughter, first of all, is more character evidence. It's not really impacting the substance of the case of liability. She'll be more character evidence. Unless, of course, she offers testimony that, hey, I was there that night and it's impossible that he was there. In other words, some kind of alibi. In terms of Bill Cosby's own testimony about, hey, I was blind, obviously, that is self-serving. Blind people can, even if he was blind, they can commit crimes too.
Yep.
We've seen this over and over again with people coming to court in wheelchairs or saying that because I'm now 80 years old, I should, get a lesser sentence. 80-year-old people, blind people, commit crimes all the time. Mm. And they serve time for crimes that they committed when they were not blind or not old.
Justice
so,
is blind, Rich. Let me remind
right.
you of that.
Absolutely
Justice itself
true.
Is blind.
So that'll have maybe some impact, but very little in my opinion.
Okay, and something that I've been hearing a lot of, Governor Bruce Rauner, from what I'm hearing, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and I very well may be, there's this abortion bill, HB 40, and now he is suggesting that insurance does not cover abortion unless it's an emergency. But when the state gets its budget, then maybe insurance will cover it again. I think this is an important thing to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, more, it all relates in many respects to the budget issues that we're having. But House Bill 40 was passed by the Illinois House this week. It would fund, continue to fund women's rights to abortion, would provide state coverage, state Medicaid for that. In the wake of, you know, Justice Gorsuch's elevation to the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. many are feeling that Roe v. Wade, protecting a woman's right to abortion, will be rolled back, and especially if there's another vacancy on the Supreme Court. So this is all sort of part of that bundle. And, as you mentioned, Wendy, Governor Rauner has threatened to veto this legislation if it comes across his desk, which, you know, we had Alderman Pawar yesterday, who's running for the Democratic nomination for governor here in Illinois. You know, he was very forceful in criticizing Rauner for changing his mind completely. When campaigning for governor, Rauner was very vocal in being pro-choice. Now he seems to be turning the other way and threatening to veto this pro-choice legislation.
We can hear more about that on Legal Face-Off this week.
Yes, we will be dropping our – is dropping the right term that the kids use?
The kids say
our podcast will be up on WGNradio.com today. We had the gubernatorial candidate on yesterday, as well as some other great topics. So, yeah, check that out on WGN
Radio.
That's
not nice to call him gubernatorial. He seems like a smart guy. What's wrong with him? Why would you say that?
He was very smart.
All right. Rich, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Great to see you. That's Rich Lenkoff. We'll take a quick break, and we'll find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.